Well, good morning, everybody. This is Bob Ilson. We're set as usual for our Sunday morning show. Our guest today is going to be one of the top figures in horse racing in this country, Joe Joyce, who is the president of Arlington Park, who Arlington Park, as you know, for years has been regarded as one of our most prestigious racetracks. And their meeting gets underway tomorrow, so we have Joe here at a very timely time. And also, it's perhaps the biggest time of the year for racing in this area, because Arlington will be racing with the Thoroughbreds, and Sportsman's Park will be racing with the harness races at night. So it's going to be quite a season, and now the good weather coming along, and they should have a great meeting. He'll be with us in just about a minute. Remember that today the Cubs play their final game of the series with the St. Louis Cardinals, and try to get out and see that game if you can. The White Sox are on the West Coast still and will wind up their series today at Oakland, and they'll be gone practically all week long. And they've just had a troublesome start. You know, last year the Sox got off to a great start, and it carried through. It seemed to have a continuity to it. And they led the league for about 2 months. This year they got off to a bad start, and when you do that, it's awfully hard to get the team righted. But they should be playing better ball now and should start winning some ball games. We'll be back with our guest in exactly 1 minute. We're delighted to have Mr. Joe Joyce, who is the president of Arlington Park, as our guest today. Remember, their meeting, and it should be a great meeting, gets underway at Arlington Park tomorrow. Joe, I know that racing has been in your blood and in your background for a long time. I understand that you're also a successful attorney.
Well, I did practice law for about 20 years, Bob, and I always loved racing. I rode as a youngster, not professionally, but I always had a close association with horses, and when an opportunity came along for me to get associated with the first off-track betting in New York, which was a new concept, and then later the racetracks owned by Madison Square Garden, Arlington, and Washington, of course, which burned down, and Roseville Raceway in New York, I jumped at it.
Well, you're talking about off-track betting, and someone told me, who prominent in the racing business, that nobody knows any more about it than you do. As you know, this is quite a controversy here going on in Chicago now about whether we should or should not have off-track betting. What has it done for racing in New York City?
Well, it's hurt racing in New York, quite frankly, and that all is a matter of economics. Off-track betting in France, Australia, is very supportive of the racing industry. It certainly is in Puerto Rico also. And it all comes down, as far as the racing industry is concerned, to how the economic pie is divided. Certainly, New York off-track betting has indicated its ability to produce a very significant amount of incremental revenue over and above what the racetracks lose. The problem in New York is the disposition of that revenue is heavily weighted in favor of government, and quite frankly, the racing industry does not get a sufficient amount from off-track betting to fully compensate them for what they would lose as a result of off-track betting. Just to give you some numbers to put it in perspective, New York City off-track betting alone, that doesn't include the rest of the state, last year produced $126 million in revenue after all their expenses were paid. Of that $126 million, $96 million went to government and only $30 million went to the racing industry. And that's just an unfair division. I will say the bill as proposed in Illinois gives a significantly larger share of the net revenue to the racing industry, and for that reason it could be beneficial.
Well, what exactly is the breakdown? We have to think of the city. They say that the city will maybe pick up some $21 million a year. There are the racetracks. There's the Horse Racing Association. Someone told me that that's a flaw in the ointment right now, that the horse people want more money.
No, that's not so. I shouldn't say that so quickly. We always want more money, and everybody in the racing industry needs additional revenue. It's a very troubled industry, as you probably know, Bob, as far as economics are concerned. But The racing industry has indicated, and as a matter of fact indicated to the committee in the House that dealt with the off-track betting bill, that it could live with the present disposition of the revenue in the bill to the racing industry. Just to give you some quick comparisons, the New York legislation provides for approximately an average of about 4% of the off-track betting handle to go to the racing industry. Legislation proposed in Illinois provides for 7.3% to go to the racing industry. So there is a material difference.
Well, that is a difference. Well, it looks like we're going to see it happen here.
Well, I'm no political pundit. Certainly the Governor's Commission on Gambling came out with what appears to be a strong recommendation for it. Committee in the House, before which I and others from the racing industry testified, did pass it out, recommending passage by a large margin. I think it was 17-7. But where it goes from here, you'll have to ask somebody more politically astute than I.
Joe, what's your opinion of Sunday horse racing?
Well, I think certainly it's been a great success in California and has not been very much of a success in New York. And that's about where I stand. I have mixed opinions on it, quite frankly. And I think it has something to do with the difference in environment between the East and West Coasts. The West Coast is a very outdoorsy, recreation-oriented environment, and there's something about a family tinge to Sunday, which I personally like, quite frankly, but I don't know. Economically, I don't know how successful it is because of the necessity to pay double time. I know in New York it has not been a profitable enterprise, although they feel that it is doing, in the long run, some good because they feel it is attracting new fans. And, of course, if it does that, then I would probably have to lean on the positive side, even if it was just a break-even operation.
You probably know that the current issue of Sports Illustrated has quite a story. The title is New Uproar Over a Controversial Drug. After one death and several accidents, some jockeys are beginning to ask questions about butazolidine being given to their horses. What's your opinion on this? Jockeys, trainers are quoted in this article in Sports Illustrated, some for it, some adamant, very much against it. Some of the jockeys involved in the tragic accident in the East, they're against it. What's your opinion?
Well, I think that you indicated that it is one of the most controversial subjects, and it is. Racing boards all over the country, racetracks, horsemen's organizations have been trying to get a really good handle on the effects of bute for the last 10 years and really haven't been able to come to any opinion in which everybody agrees. I think bute has its place. I'm not greatly in favor of it. One of the, in proper dosages, apparently it acts pretty much as aspirin acts on our system. In large dosages, there's no question that it's a negative thing and shouldn't be used. And I think that that really is at the heart of the question, what is the proper dosage? And there are varying rules in varying states. New York, as you know, does not allow bute at all. It is allowed in Illinois.
What about California?
California, I believe they do allow it. It is controversial. One of the reasons for a much wider spread use of bute than previously has been the fact that there are so many more racing days and such a far greater demand for horses, so that they have to run horses that are a little sore, really, to fill cards. And I think that has materially increased the use of butazolidine.
I asked another horse track operator, racing operator, who has a job similar to yours, what he thought about it. Why can they not have it in New York, and they can have it in Illinois? He says, well, New York has better horses. They don't have to worry about it.
Well, to some extent that's true. The better and healthier the horse, obviously the less need for bute. And, of course, New York, as California does, has the top purses in the country. They can attract horses without having to fight for them. And, of course, one of the reasons you know, cheap horses are cheap is that generally they're not entirely sound. And when you have a horse that's not entirely sound, he's much more likely to need Butazzolo than a horse that is sound, obviously.
It was tragic in the running of the Kentucky Derby in 1968 that the winner was disqualified because they found Bute in the system.
Yes, it was. That was very unfortunate. And as I I know nothing about it, but what I read in the newspapers and in the horse magazines, but it seems that that was a somewhat delayed reaction or retention, an unusual retention in the horse's system, which wouldn't have occurred with many other horses.
Joe, I know that you and other people who are prominent in the racing industry, and it is a great sport here in America, as it is every place else, are concerned about policing the business, policing the industry. I've often wondered why it is when you see a story in a paper, here a jockey is caught with a battery and he gets 15 days, or a trainer is caught with doping a horse and he gets 15 or 30 days. Why is that? That's inconsistent to me. If a fellow robs a bank of $5,000 instead of $1 million, it doesn't make any difference what the amount is, and the guy caught with a battery, this hasn't been the first time he did it. You have to assume that, in the same way with the trainer doping a horse, he just never got caught before.
Well, you know, I agree. We're very careful at Arlington, and of course I've seen jockeys who use the battery suspended for life, not just set down for 15 days. Trainers doping a horse, of course, is a, you know, if they've really doped the horse, I don't know of any instance where they have not been ruled off forever. One of the problems, of course, is semantics. A fellow can give a horse some medication 48 hours before he's supposed to run and have the test come back affirmatively. Now, he had no intention to gain any advantage or to lose any advantage by it or anything else. The medication that's prescribed is supposed to wear off in 48 hours, and it simply just does not. Uh-huh. There are also instances of lack of communication where a vet will give a horse some medication, and because the trainer isn't around, neglect to tell the trainer. So that, you know, those things call for light penalties. Attempting to fix races call for the most extreme penalties we can devise.
I agree with you. Our guest today, and we're very happy to have him, is a prominent figure in the horse racing business, Mr. Joe Joyce, who is the president of Arlington Park. Remember, their great meeting gets underway tomorrow. And we'll be back with our guest in just a moment. Our guest is Mr. Joe Joyce, who is the president of Arlington Park. Their meet opens tomorrow on Monday. Joe, tell us, I know the average racing fan is interested, what goes behind and how many things go behind the planning of a great meeting such as you have getting underway at Arlington Park tomorrow?
Well, there's a tremendous amount of things. Just generically, you divide it up into the physical plant and the operators you need for racing. And the operators, of course, are horses and trainers and whatnot. We spend a good deal of the winter contacting various trainers throughout the country, trainers with good stake horses, trainers with good stables that we want to run at Arlington Park. We'll make a couple of trips to California. We'll make a couple of trips to Florida. We'll certainly be down in Kentucky when they're running, in Maryland when they're running, and in New York when, of course, New York runs all year round. So we get into that, and both myself and my general manager and my racing secretary will make these trips, and they're all, you know, hopefully they're fruitful in upgrading the quality of horse racing in Illinois, which I think we've been largely successful in doing in the last couple of years. It was a kind of a dry period for a while, but we have some good stables, and we have a very good stakes program. The other end of the spectrum is preparing that large physical plant. For instance, this year, you know, and the plant is 50 years old. This year we painted all the barns in the backstretch. We repaired and refurbished all the stalls, and that's 1,935 stalls, and that's a major, you know, it's a major undertaking. We did a major amount of repaving in the parking lot. We went through the entire plant, all five floors, and attacked the floor surface. Many, you know, from the standpoint of repair, in the outer stands, we ripped up the all of the flooring in the box seat sections and repaved it completely with terrazzo, which was a major thing. We put a new an entirely new concrete apron on the east end of the plant and scraped and repainted the apron on the west end of the plant. We're in a three-year program in repairing our roof, which is a major, major expensive undertaking. We did a third last year. We've completed a third this year, and we'll finish it up next year. We just completed the installation of a $750,000 sprinkler system in the clubhouse and grandstand, which with the sprinkler systems that we've already installed in the Bonn area makes the entire complex as fire safe as you can get it, given the existing construction. We've repainted all of the dormitories inside and out. As you know, Bob, maybe your listeners don't, one of the things racetracks do is provide living accommodations for the grooms and the hot walkers and the exercise boys and girls. When we're running, we're, I guess I'm the mayor of a small city as well as anything else. And, you know, all of these types of things and major landscaping. And, of course, this year we have a completely new track surface.
I was going to ask you about that, Joe. What about the track surface?
I think it's going to be the best surface in North America. We were very, very fortunate in getting a track superintendent named John Passero, I think, the best young track superintendent in the country or in North America, because we stole him from the Ontario Jockey Club, where he had been for many years. And quite frankly, I was touted onto him by one of the leading trainers in the country. I don't know if I should use his name. I probably shouldn't. But he was the one who told me that John might be receptive to an offer from us. He reshot the entire base. We had the cushion off, and the entire base of the track was reshot with surveyor's instruments, so that the base is absolutely in true pitch throughout the entire track. And we put a new cushion on, with which we had a little trouble because it came in wet, and you can't sift wet cushion. So that when it was first laid, there were a fair number of rocks on it, but we took care of that problem and removed the rocks, and the response from the trainers has been very positive about that cushion.
Well, you've certainly spent a lot of money and done a lot of work.
Oh, it's it's a very expensive proposition. There's no question about it. And of course, on the racing end of it, one of the things that we do have is we reinstituted the Mid-America Triple, which is a series of three-year-old races with a gross aggregate purse of $350,000 for the three races. And I'm glad to say that we have 210 nominees for those three races, which compares favorably with the 260-odd that were nominated for the Belmont Stakes. And also that every horse that started in the Kentucky Derby or the Preakness has been nominated for that Mid-America Triple. So, we're looking forward to a good season.
Well, I'm sure you're going to have a good season, and I know how totally involved you are with it. We've seen bits in the paper that Seattle Slough might be at Arlington or that Aladar might come to Arlington. Anything to that?
Well, I'm sure that's a possibility. We've certainly spoken to the people, this is... getting a particular horse is always, a function of, first of all, how sound the horse is, what his schedule is, how frequently they want to run him. And, of course, since so many of the stake horses are in the east or the west, they have to ship to Arlington, so that we really never know who's coming until, a matter of a few days before a major stake race.
You were probably, very probably, practicing law during the Marge Everett days at Arlington Park. And you hear all kinds of stories. I wonder if they, in your opinion, they have any substance that maybe she antagonized a lot of prominent stables and they don't come to this part of the country anymore. Is there anything to that?
I don't, it's so hard to tell. I've heard the same story. I've also heard that people have a very strong reaction to Marge that knew her. I don't know her. I've never met her. They either like her very much or dislike her very much. That makes it difficult to get a reading on what is fact and what is fiction. But, of course, one of the things that happened to Arlington was that the game has changed substantially in the last 10 years in that there are so many more racing dates, particularly in the East, where a stable can now, ship into to Belmont which is stables the horses for both Belmont and Aqueduct, and he has Monmouth to go to. He had Garden State to go to. He has Keystone to go to. And these tracks, many of them are running just all year round. Now they have the Meadowlands if they want to run at night. It just is convenient in that. And the other factor, of course, is that the purses in New York have increased dramatically, as they have in California, and it is tough for us to compete on a purse level with them. Maybe OTB might cure some of that, quite frankly.
Joe, you've heard the story about a new sports complex for Chicago, the nation's number one city, and it would include a racetrack for horse racing. What do you think of that?
Well, I you know, I've read the paper like everybody else. I think that it has some major economic problems in financing something like that. You can't compare it to the Meadowlands project economically, because the Meadowlands only pays 0.5% parimutuel tax, and all of the Chicago area tracks pay an average of about 8% parimutuel tax, and that's a difference of something in excess of $60 million a year. And the other thing is that the Meadowlands had an economic imperative in that they were impacting the New York market, so that there was economic reasons for the state to reduce that parimutuel tax. There really isn't the same kind of an economic reason for a reduction by the state existing in Chicago, where we do have year-round racing.
Yeah. Joe, assuming that a horse like, a great horse like Seattle Slough or an Aladar or one of those kind of horses come in to Arlington Park, do you have to establish any special type of security for horses like that?
Well, we generally do, and it's a matter of comfort, really, to the people shipping in. The security at Arlington is very adequate, and the Illinois Racing Board has made some major steps in this direction too. I have my differences with the board from time to time, but I give credit where credit's due. We have beefed up our security significantly over the last 4 years to a pretty high level. Last year, I think that we run a small police force of about 60 odd, which is more than many of the municipalities around Chicago. Uh-huh. And the Illinois Bureau of Investigation, which is supported by the racetracks, also has investigators on the track at all times, so that the security is very good. We do establish a little additional security for shipping in horses for two reasons. One is it makes the trainer and owner feel comfortable, and the other is there's a tendency to get a lot more sightseers around a Seattle Slough or an Aladar or a Secretariat or whatever, just from people who are legitimately on the backstretch, but the grooms and the hot walkers, everybody wants to see the horse, and it can upset the horse sometimes, so we just keep somebody around to keep people at arm's length.
I was surprised a few years ago. We were doing a baseball game in Baltimore, and we went out in the afternoon. Majestic Prince flew in for the Preakness. I was surprised to see the lack of, he looked like he was in a stable that looked like it'd go up with fire any minute and straw all over the place and everything else.
Well, I don't want to say anything bad about the Pimlico, because I have some good friends there and I think they run a good operation. But in visiting backstretches throughout the country, I would say that through the efforts of racetrack management and through the efforts of the Illinois Racing Board, that the backstretch areas in Illinois are the finest you'll find anywhere. Some of that was imposed upon us, but upon management by the Racing Board, but I think that it's a very positive thing.
What's going to happen with Washington Park? Will that come back to life?
Well, I don't know. The insurance claim is still being negotiated and whatnot, but we have a master plan in there. I think it's probably doubtful, quite frankly.
Our guest today, and we're delighted to have him, a prominent figure in the horse racing business, is Joe Joyce, who is the president of Arlington Park, and they have a great meeting getting underway tomorrow, and for the best in racing, be sure to attend it. We'll be back with our guest in just a moment. Joe Joyce is the president of Arlington Park. Joe, is there any chance we'll see Cawthon at Arlington?
We hope so. We've been in contact with Lenny Goodman, and we're going to try and get him out here for a weekend, because he really started this major league racing at Arlington, and we're very proud of that fact.
Well, his story is one of the most unbelievable stories ever.
Well, you know, I was standing with a couple of trainers the first time I saw him ride at Arlington, and they both turned to me and said, "Who is that kid?" And that's how noticeably good he was at that early stage of his development.
He was really born into it, wasn't he? It's just amazing.
Yes, he really is. He's just an exceptional, exceptional young man, an exceptional young rider. There's no question about it.
Well, we're coming into the season now of good weather. The Lord knows we've had enough bad weather, a bad winter, and a bad summer so far. So you should be able to come up with some great racing days, weather-wise, and Arlington Park is such an attractive place. And as you say, you have good horses coming in. There's adequate parking out there for everybody, and I certainly wish you a great season. I want to thank you for taking the trouble to be with us today. It's a real pleasure having you.
Thank you very much, Bob. It was a pleasure being here.
Thank you. Our guest today, and we've been delighted to have him, is Joe Joyce, who is the president of Arlington Park Racetrack, one of the prestigious tracks in this area. And they have a fine meeting planned, and it's going to get underway tomorrow. This is the height of the racing season with the thoroughbreds at Arlington Park and harness racing every night at Sportsman's Park. So there's a lot of enjoyable racing to take advantage of in the Chicago area for the next couple of months. Well, have a nice Sunday. The weather is nice. If you can, try to get out and see the Cub game. It's the final game of the series with the Cardinals. And now this is Bob Elson saying goodbye until next Sunday at our usual time.